Planet. We are back on air this evening, and we have a fantastic show planned for you all listening wherever you are around the world. I've already called in the angels and the ascended masters and the guides that are in heaven, and it'll be a special evening. We have James Murray with us, and I have some very special messages from Princess Diana on the lovely wedding that took place 2 weeks ago now with Harry and Meghan, and she was right there with them at the wedding, and she has a lot to say about that and how it's going to go in the future. And it's really not all about celebrity. It's really about grounding the divine feminine. So I have a few announcements, and then we're going to play some music, and then we're going to introduce James and his wonderful work. And, of course, James has been producing with his father over the years, all of our wonderful and inspired music from the heavenly realms, and he's just full of talent, and all kinds of wit and wisdom from the other side flow through his pen, as well as through Bob Murray's pen, and we both still connect to Bob Murray on the other side, and we'd like to kind of dedicate this show to Bob Murray and to my father, James McMahon. Since Father's Day is coming up soon, I just thought it would be a nice thing to invoke their names and their remembrance. And, of course, if you have any messages or anything, James, you can certainly bring them through. So how are you this evening, James? It's great to have you on again.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Marcia. Thank you again for having me on, and I'm doing fine, and it's great to be on the show again.
Well, it's really great to have your insight and your gifts on with us this evening. And I have a few announcements, and I'd like to talk a little bit about what I've been doing lately. And then we're going to play some music, and then we'll get back to you. And then we'll do volley off with different messages. And for those of you that may be new to the Peaceful Planet, James Murray's work can be found at www.thestarsstillshine.com. And it's Stars Still Shine, a lot of S's in there, and it's double S's. And James has been the illustrator and the writer for the e-zine since his father transitioned. But James, you were always doing the editing anyway for the magazine for a long time and illustrating. And he's a gifted artist as myself. He's a spirit artist, and he draws and sees what he is relayed to from the other side, as I do. So I want to give James a warm welcome, but we're going to move into some of the announcements I have. And there's quite a bit of stuff going on in the world, of course, and I want to also focus on some special messages, as I said, from Princess Diana, possibly from Mary Magdalene, and a really special message from John Lennon, whom I haven't heard from in quite some time. And most of the messages from Diana focus on the royal wedding, and I normally don't cover celebrity for the sake of celebrity, but because I'm so close to Princess Diana and she works through me so often, she will be thrilled as we bring her forth on the show today. and I know she is celebrating in the heavenly realms for her son, Harry, Prince Harry, and Princess Meghan Markle now. And then, of course, she's really happy about the new addition to the royal family, the youngest one in the other family with Prince William and Catherine with their new baby, Louis. So she'll bring through some messages for us in a little while. And I have to comment a little bit about the wedding because I found it rather dazzling and beautiful, and I didn't get up early enough to see all of it, but there were so many clips online. But I did see as they were leaving in the carriage and how beautiful the sunshine was that day. And I just felt chills because I knew Diana was with them. And not only that, there was so much sunshine and so much goodwill everywhere. And I didn't used to be much of a royal watcher or royal fan until I worked with Diana. But it was like an aspect of the divine masculine was being wed to the divine feminine. And that's truly what it was, because they displayed a great deal of grace and, you know, just respect and honor. And that the fact that they are both light workers and will do good for the world gave me a sense of hope. And it just was an awesome energy. The whole weekend was awesome. I then went down to St. Louis to see Patricia Cota Robles, who's a wonderful light worker. She used to have a show on BBS, and it happened to be Pentecost. And she was talking about the divine masculine and feminine coming together with Prince Harry and Meghan, too. So it was all, you know, such wonderful divine energy being grounded through the work of what Princess Diana did in her life by raising her sons with a touch of light and love and helping them to understand the difficulties of common people and of the poor and the disadvantaged and the homeless and people that are really disadvantaged in war-torn countries in Africa. And I believe that Harry and Meghan will continue on in that tradition and serve the race. And she has some very eloquent words, so I'll wait till I get to the message. But I was just really impressed with the dignity with which Meghan carried herself throughout the ceremony. She was graceful, she was beautiful, and those pictures of her with the veil trailing behind her were just so stunning. It was just really wonderful. And it's not to idolize any celebrity person so much as to just let them be a symbol for your own inner prince or princess, as Diana has said to me so many times, and it's so true. You know, we all have our inner divine, and that's part of what I teach in my classes. So I want to mention two events that are going on with me, the circle. The Goddess Reiki Circle or Angelic Reiki Circle will be held next week from 2 to 4:30. It's in Taylorville, and you can email me if you are in the Springfield, Illinois area and would like to come, or you're in the Taylorville area. I don't think too many Taylorvilleites listen, but they may be listening, and in which case, you're welcome. And please email me at marciadi, as in Diana, 2002 at yahoo.com, if you wish to attend the Reiki Goddess Circle. And then I have another workshop coming up in a couple weeks, June the 24th. I will be presenting a mini course, an afternoon study and workshop at Camp Chesterfield, which is an old spiritualist camp in Chesterfield, Indiana. It's on the National Historic Register, and it's full of interesting people. And I'm going to present a workshop called A New Understanding of the Ascended Masters and Angels on June 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. And this is a summer workshop, and it will involve connecting you to your particular spirit guide, and you will do exercises and meditation, and then you will connect to your particular ascended master that watches over you, and then you will connect to your particular archangel. And then, of course, I will be bringing some of my art, there to explain the connection of sacred art as inspiration for connecting with one of the masters and the divine energy that is imparted from looking at sacred art and understanding the new understanding of the ascended masters. So, you know, everyone understands that Jesus was an ascended master and Buddha was an ascended master, but we have other great masters now, like Princess Diana and even John Lennon, who doesn't like to be called an ascended master, but he's certainly a master of music. Wouldn't you agree, James?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so keep that in mind for the 24th, and if you're interested in carpooling with me, I will be traveling out from Central Illinois over to Camp Chesterfield. It's a wonderful, high vibrational community of other mediums and psychics and readers and people that work with cards. And it's just a conglomerate of wonderful people, and it has a very light-filled vibration. This will be held in the Rhett Art Gallery on the grounds of historic Camp Chesterfield, and they have places to stay nearby, and they have an entire grounds that's really enchanted. There's a lot of angelic and fairy energy there, and they've got a garden of ascended masters as well. But they have a lot of artwork from the old spiritualist movement, and basically it'll be a fun thing to do. So I think the day before, they're having an Avalon workshop too. And before I conclude my messages, announcements, I would say, I want to also announce that I've been working really hard on my next book, which is on Mary Magdalene. And I've been channeling Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary for maybe over 14 years now. And I've compiled a beautiful book titled Mary Magdalene Reveals the Secrets of the Grail, the Bloodline, and the Divine Feminine. And it's all her teaching on what really happened in the life of Jeshua ben Joseph, or Jesus, and how the Divine Feminine and Divine Masculine are grounding to create a new earth for all of us so that women are less suppressed and women are less denigrated and less abused and finally attain their rightful place in society. And at the same time, she speaks on her truth and her life and her inner way mastery teachings. And there's messages from Mother Mary in the book. There's all kinds of past life regressions that I've done on other people. And those are included with real life witnesses to the resurrection and the crucifixion and what really happened with Jesus, all the untold stories. And, of course, I've hosted the show all these years and done the Jesus Mysteries on the show, so I have CDs if you're interested in picking those up. The book isn't ready for sale yet, but we may have Mary step in for a message, but we'll see how far we get. So, anyway, those are my announcements, and I was, before we do any music, I would like to now bring in James Murray. I've briefly introduced him before, and he's been on the show many times. He's a frequent favorite guest of mine because we work with Bob Murray on the other side and a lot of the other people that are well-known as celebrities in spirit, namely Princess Di and John Lennon, but a host of others that James and Bob have worked with. So anyway, welcome again, James. It was so good to connect to you. How is your summer going up there in Canada?
Doing very, very well. I'm enjoying the weather, and it's been quite nice. And yes, it's nice to be able to get out and enjoy the sunshine and get out in the garden. I spend quite a bit of time.
Yeah,
in the garden,
amen to that. I've been out in the garden, but our heat is fierce here. How is the temperature there? It must be about perfect, huh? 72.
Today it's just perfect weather. It's maybe a little on the cool side, but I like cooler temperatures.
And so you were saying that you had felt that you felt that Diana's presence was at the wedding, as I did. So what were you sensing and feeling about Diana, and did she have anything to say to you?
Well, I could definitely see Diana, and I could see her father, and I could see other members of the royal family standing behind, beside and behind, actually Diana was standing beside Megan, but the rest of the family was standing behind and close by, and they were there most of the, I think just about the whole ceremony, and then they, and then I guess as soon as the couple, the royal couple left, headed out again, they, I guess they, I wouldn't say just popped out of the church, but I mean they made their way outside again to see the activities and the follow the couple outside as they took their ride in the the chariot or
the gilded carriage.
Not the chariot.
The chariot.
Yeah.
You know, they follow they have to follow all those royal traditions, you know. But Diane has a really interesting take on all of this, and her message is coming up. So continue on with what you were perceiving about that. I perceived that Diana was right next to them, too, right there. And she really loves Meghan. She's crazy about Meghan because, you know, it's about the happiest thing that's come along in Harry's life in a long time. Harry is a wild card. He's a wild child, and he was always one for playing pranks and being mischievous when he was younger. And she used to call him the naughty one, you know, but he really had a wild youth and then went to Afghanistan and had 2 terms there. So, you know, he was, you know, kind of, I think, really traumatized by his mother's death, and he's only recently come out to talk about that. And so I think Meghan is the best thing that's ever happened to him next to his mother. You know, I really think guys need a strong female figure in their life, especially if they've lost their mom. And, you know, she has revealed some other secrets that will come out to me in the course of time concerning her knowledge, his knowledge of our work together in the books and so on. But did you have any other message that you would like to share or insights about it, your thoughts?
I know, I think, I don't know who had mentioned, I don't know what came from Diana or my father, but I guess it was, I knew, somehow I knew that she, at her home, at her castle, the staff had said, oh, you must take the day off, and she was torn between still being there and going to the wedding, and said, you must take the day off, please go spend time with Harry and Meghan, and, you know, they wanted to. They kept pushing her out the door. Like, you got to go. And she wanted to go, but I mean, she was definitely. She wants to be in two places at once, which I guess she can do in a spiritual sense. But anyway, she indicated to me that, and I think the others had mentioned that she said she would not miss the wedding for anything in the world or for in the universe. She couldn't miss it.
No, she wouldn't. And I sensed her right there with them, and I've sensed her with them before, like on the engagement, but definitely at the wedding. And she told me in this message that she was with them at the wedding. But I was wondering any other things that your father or you sensed. I would agree that she wouldn't miss it for the world, and she was there 100%. And I could feel her love kind of blessing the couple, as it were, when they were together. Of course, the royal family has come a long way, and Diana led that way by being so loving of all people and extending her care throughout the world and being such a wonderful example. She really paved the way for a person like an American to become a princess, and she's divorced, and she's biracial. And, you know, the royal family accepted her graciously, and yet Diana has a few things to say about that. It's not going to be all roses for Meghan, though we wish her, you know, the very, very best of happiness with Harry. And so I think this is a perfect segue for me to bring in the message, unless you had something else to add, James.
No, not much. I mean, she was, Diana was definitely there, and I could see she had quite a big, like you had pointed out, she had a big, very big influence on the whole wedding, and the atmosphere and the energy was incredible there, and great energy.
Yeah, the energy was fabulous. It was just, like, so positive. It was like one positive thing that happened for the world that day, you know, and we need more of those kinds of things. So I have the message ready. I'm going to go ahead and read it for our listeners. And I forgot to open the lines for our listeners. If you have questions or comments, you can call in 888-627-6008 if you have a question concerning Princess Diana, the wedding, or any other comments that you'd like to ask myself or James about our work. And then I'll leave it out there, and then we'll pause after the reading, and you can call again. So hold your calls for now. That's the number. Hold that thought. We'll get back to you. So this was channeled in early May, and I'm saying good morning, Princess Diana. And she says, good morning. I couldn't be more happy these days. In fact, I'm glowing with love for my ever-expanding family, and, of course, the new little one, who I wish I could be holding and kissing and caressing, that darling boy, Louis. The name quite surprised the world. I'm equally thrilled and so excited for the royal wedding coming up this following weekend on May the 19th. The world will be watching, and I'm wishing Harry and Meghan a most glorious day, and for that matter, a beautiful life together. Meghan is the lady after my heart, as she does charity work with landmines, and she and Harry will begin to transform the monarchy into a true example of selfless service to others. And I say that, watch out, Meghan, and be careful, for there are those in the monarchy who didn't like my service to others, and of course you know the rest of the story and how that went. So whilst I stood for reform, I am also aware that she will not have an easy time. And I do feel that Harry will always be by her side and stand up for her. And I wish them complete success in their marriage. I pointed out the situation before with the old guard and the Royal House of Windsor. That is why I encourage all of our listeners to, and the viewers around the world, to say particular prayers for Meghan and Harry to have happiness. And now, however, I'm moving on. There are mounting tensions in the world that need our urgent present attention. The situation with Iran nuclear deal and the North Korean dictator are both on my mind at this time. I was hoping that the British ambassador would be able to convince President Trump of the importance of staying in the Iran deal, but of course that didn't happen. We see the consequences would be dire if the U.S. were to withdraw from the Iran deal. And it would speed up her nuclear program, and she's already almost fully nuclear and online. And Israel is right to consider taking out particular underground nuclear facilities, and they are right on the intelligence. But Israel's actions might provoke a run on further war, so we ask the world to pray. Again, the denuclearization of these rogue nations is a definite threat to the entire world. I meant to say the nuclearization, not the denuclearization. They're a threat to the whole world, and of course a worry is with Kim Jong-un. While President Trump would like to think that he could broker a peace accord with Kim, it is highly unlikely that Kim will do that, and he will probably just continue on his way of deception and deceit. And the only reason that Kim is even at the table is because people are starving and is afraid of revolution. I, in my heart of hearts, wish that the two Koreas could be united. There's so much heartache there amongst the people in the Koreas. I see generations of people who have not met their grandparents or vice versa. And from the human perspective, what he has done is an abomination. I see that China still supports the two Koreas rather than allowing them to unite, and that's utterly backward. China certainly has its own agenda and hasn't done enough to keep Kim Jong-un and his nuclear ambitions reined in. He is a loathsome person and a ruthless dictator. So We ask all hearing my message today to please pray for peace in these places of tension around the world. And I always want America to win, even if I do not care for the current president. And I, of course, ask our listeners to pray for Hawaii and the volcanoes going on there, and also for the tensions between the United States and Russia. The Putin-Trump situation will become more apparent as the Mueller investigation goes on. It will become evident that Putin has plenty of dirt on your president, and that if he Trump has participated in possible banking fraud. So in this matter, we hope to see a resolution to the Mueller investigation. It appears that the Congress is helpless to do anything about the widespread rampant corruption in the Trump administration. This is very discouraging indeed. I am, however, as an ascended master, very optimistic in spite of the rampant pessimism and division in the world amongst the political affiliations and nations. I always stood for peace, and I always ask all reading and hearing my messages to send out the light of the Merkaba for the peace of the world. And I'm shining my light brightly on both my sons and their beautiful families. And I, as I continue my mission of light for the world, I am Diana, ambassador of peace for the world. So that's quite a lengthy message. Thank you, listeners, for listening to that message. And if you would like to call in with a question for a mini reading, or a question for James or I about Princess Diana, or how we do our work, or any question, you can call 888-627-6008. On line 1, you can just press line 1 if you're picking this up on the app on your cell phone, and call and ask a mini question, one question, and I'll take your questions if you want to call. And we'll get back to speaking with James. And so, James, you had found a interesting message of your father's that you were interested in sharing. How did you like the message from Princess Diana?
Very, very much. I mean, I liked it very much. And I always loved to love hearing from her through you. And it certainly, she's always got, always has a good insight into, you know, what needs to be done, and how to, you know, bring as your the title and your for your show is bring peace to the bring peace back and to the world, and make the world a better place, and so forth.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that too. You know, if we, Diana always says, and she has another message here, but I'm going to allow you time to do your work too, James. But, you know, if only everyone could love enough, if there were enough love in the world, everyone would have enough to eat, everyone would be fed, everyone would be clothed, everyone would be housed. I'm not talking about changing into a communist you know, form of economics. I'm just saying that everyone recognized the rights of everyone else. There wouldn't be so much greed and corruption and government takeovers of different things and secret governments and secret operations and, you know, killing light workers like they do, and on it goes, you know. We'd have more natural medicine instead of big pharma. You know, we really want to change the world here, but you know, Diana has all the solutions. All the Ascended Masters have the solutions. But love is at the core of all the solutions. And it's so important to extend your love, even if you can just work in a small way. It's better than doing nothing and just talking about peace. Because, you know, love in action, it takes many forms. Sometimes you have to demonstrate for peace. Sometimes you have to write congressmen or women. Sometimes you have to take a radical stand, and whatever it is you feel that you need to do for the world, everyone has their own unique calling, you know? There's far too much violence in America. It's almost like I can't even stand to watch the news anymore, and I don't like hearing about Trump either. It's like, oh my God, what has he done today, you know, to take away our rights, you know? So you don't have that problem in Canada. You've got a really cool prime minister there with Trudeau. I really like him. And I understand the royal couple went up to Alberta for their honeymoon. That sounds lovely up there. Have you? What's your take on the political situation in Canada and America?
The political. We have up here. We get a fair amount of the American news, but and we do get quite a bit of that is of the. The U.S. president, and then the rest of it is of our, the rest of it's of our Canadian politics, and but it's certainly how should I say it's we do get. Actually, we do get more American news. More and more over time, so we get quite an influence from the U.S. And
well, apparently they just did something yesterday that ticked off the Canadian Prime Minister with something with tariffs on all the trade coming into the United States from Canada, and Canada and Mexico are going to have a trade war going now with the United States and big tariffs and. They're supposedly our friends, while he's, you know, talking about how Trump is making friends with that idiot dictator Kim Jong-un. So I don't know how that. I don't know if that's just a reality TV show or a distraction. But anyway, maybe politics is interesting quite so much, James. And I don't blame you.
I'm better to stick with the.
The messages. So you had a very interesting message that you shared, and I was wondering if you could maybe share part of it, since I think we're about halfway at the halfway mark at the program, and it was delivered by your father, and it concerns another member of the royal family, and it's a fascinating, interlude into the afterlife. So. This is from what the Stars Still Shine e-zine, which people can tune into on thestarsstillshine.com, and you send out a bi-monthly e-zine or quarterly.
We've been tardy at sending out the issues. I have to get more time to put them out every month.
No one's noticed, James. I'm just trying to promote your work, I'm behind on time, too, though. That book took me a forever, and it's not finished yet, So you were going to share that part of that message?
Yeah, I can read. It's really essentially, you can explain to people that it's an article that it's come from... my father had channeled Michael, who's of course the subject of our books, and Michael passed away in 1997. Anyway, it's a message that my father brought through for our magazine, and it's about King Richard III of England. And then Michael visits Elvis, the famous Elvis. visited
Elvis himself.
visited a cathedral, and they find a tomb of King Richard III, and then they end up speaking with King Richard afterwards in the message. But I'll go ahead and read it.
Well, go ahead and delve into it. Let's see how far we can get with it, and speak loudly so our listeners can hear you.
Okay. Michael describes his latest adventure. He was asked by Pemby to visit a cathedral to find the tomb of King Richard III of England. Here's what Michael had to say. This morning, I had been given my orders. I was to find out where the medieval knights were. Once I found them, I was able to waken the dead and ask questions. I carried a small notebook in my case, in my memory case, I'm going to repeat that. I carried a small notebook in my case, My memory wasn't retentive. The first two pages were filled with questions I was to ask. First on the list was to find King Richard III of England. Then I guessed he would take it from there and fill me in or not. Elvis was along for the company, and I suspected to keep to keep me on the job in case I chickened out. Once at the tomb, I would assume that there was a knight in that stone box. Well, maybe not, but I had to start somewhere. As Elvis and I stood on a small white marble balcony, we looked down onto the rectangular part of the cathedral. In the middle of the rectangle was a carved marble tomb. It was raised from the floor by a platform that was about 6 inches thick. There seemed to be a battle scene on the sides of the large tomb. On the top lay a curved marble figure of a knight at rest or lying down. He was in full armor, carved in marble, of course. A large sword was on top. The hilt was on his chest with the tip beside his toes, his armored toes. I was sure it was a carving, not a sculpture. Earlier, I had been told by Pemby that all the many figures in that cathedral were carved from marble. I motioned for Elvis to follow me. We walked away from the railing to the winding stone stairs behind the small balcony. I was surprised to hear my breath come in wheezes. I remarked to Elvis, "This realism is going too far. I'm panting like I would be climbing a staircase, but I'm going down." I counted the 13 stairs. "I'll have to talk to Pemby about realism." And then Elvis just nodded and pointed to the tome. We went over to the massive tome. I put my hand on the cold, cold marble. I remarked, "Does Pemby really expect me to get answers from a hunk of marble?" Elvis asked, "So Michael, where do we find these knights?" I knocked on the marble tome. "Hello, anybody home? I'm looking for King Richard III of England." As Elvis and I were looking at the tome, someone cleared his throat behind us. We turned around. A figure of a rather tall man started forming in front of us. He had dark, neatly combed black hair. His face was clean shaven. He was wearing what looked like a naval uniform without his cap. When he seemed to be solid, he reached out his right hand to me. "I'm Dickie Mountbatten, and you're?" I shook his offered hand. "I'm Michael," I pointed to Elvis. "My friend is Elvis." He reached over and shook hands with Elvis. "Pleased to meet you, Mr. Presley. Now what can I do to help?" Pemby asked us to look up King Richard III and other knights. We were to talk to them and ask questions. Mountbatten smiled and nodded. "Oh yes, Pemby. I knew her way back when she was the Archbishop, and I was King Richard III. We were great friends." I took a backward step and my back up against the tome. "Sorry, I didn't know that they had women archbishops back then, and I heard a story that some construction worker found the bones of Richard III under a parking lot in London. Was that you?" They didn't allow women to do much of anything in that time. Pemby was a man back then. I imagine his no-nonsense personality is still with him or her now. He was most definitely a man. Now, my earthly remains as Richard could have been under the paving stones. Once I died, I had no interest in my useless flesh and bones. I've had a few go-rounds since that time, and the latest as Dickie Mountbatten, blown up by the IRA along with my yacht. I'm identifying with that personality as we tend to cling to our last identity.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
He looked at Elvis. You seem to be downcast, Mr. Presley. Are you ill? Elvis smiled. No, I'm fine. I'm surprised that you know Pemby, and she was an archbishop. Mountbatten motioned for us to sit on one of the wooden pews. Elvis and I sat on one, and Mountbatten sat on the one in front of us. He turned, put his right arm on the back of the pew. Pemby wouldn't do anything by mistake. If he didn't want you to know, you wouldn't know. As the Archbishop and before, we were good friends. We were as close as brothers. We grew up together. Chased after the same women until he became a priest. It was the time of the Crusades. He was against the Crusades, but didn't have much choice. He got his orders from the Pope. We've kept in touch over the centuries, while on this side, of course. I was smiling a very wide smile and thinking that I figured that Pemby was a man. Then I quickly tried to think of something else so Mountbatten wouldn't read my mind, he continued. Pemby was many different people over his time and incarnations. He will reveal what he wants to reveal in time. I suspect he was expecting me to give you, chap, some elementary lessons. Are you up to some show and tell? He asked us. I guess so, I muttered. He stood up. He motioned for us to follow him. Such unbridled enthusiasm. You must learn to damper down. He led us to the side of the cathedral. He pointed to the three closed doors, the three wooden doors that were along the wall. Choose one of those doors, Mr. Michael. Door number one is on your far left. Two is next, and three is right in front of us. I pointed to door number one on the far left. I chose door number one. And let's see. Okay, one button disappeared. Door number one opened, and out stepped a young man wearing what looked like tights on his legs and an off-white shirt on his upper body. A sword in a sheath hung on his side. He had a beard that was neatly trimmed. He came forward. As he did, he drew his sword. At that moment, I thought he was going to run me through or whack my head off. Instead, he touched the flat of the sword on my right shoulder. He spoke in a deep voice. I dub thee Sir Michael of Sussex. He turned to Elvis, who at that time was edging away from me, shuffling backwards. He bellowed out, "Hold still, Mr. Presley. I'm about to bestow an honor not run you through." Elvis stopped his backward movement. The bearded man walked over to Elvis. He gently poked Elvis in the stomach with the hilt of the sword. I dub thee Lord Corpulent of the Full Belly. How can a dead man put on such weight? Elvis turned red in the face. That was something I thought I'd never see. Must be the southern fried chicken I've been munching, muttered Elvis. Okay, then...
So then he knights Elvis. And what did he call him?
He called him... Lord Corpulent.
Lord Turpulent?
Lord Corpulent of the Full Belly.
Oh, that is funny. This is crazy. This is so fun. Now, I had to think that grave must have been in Westminster Abbey, but I do remember in the papers reading about them digging in a parking lot, you know, and finding the bones of Richard III, the early English king. So this is getting very hilarious. So is that about where it ends, or have we more to go, James?
There's about a page and a half left. I don't know how much time you have.
Let me check the time here. I think we should finish, and I'll wrap it up. I have a message from John Lennon and another one from Diana, or we can take calls. I thought I heard a caller call but you were just starting to read, so do finish the story. It's fun. Go on,
okay,
please.
Okay, I'll continue. Okay, thank you. The bearded man chuckled. One for the future Guinness Book of Records, I would imagine. A dead man usually just gathers moss, not chicken. You, sir, seem to be the exception. I'm Richard III, late of England.
Can you repeat that for our audience? This is funny.
Okay.
Say it again.
Okay, the bearded man chuckled. One for the future Guinness Book of Records, I would imagine. A dead man usually just gathers moss, not chicken. You, sir, seem to be the exception. I'm Richard III, late of England.
Richard III has quite a sense of humor. Do go on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
I couldn't help laughing.
And then he turned and walked back through doorway number one. Before he closed the door, he remarked, "Keep the titles if you wish." And then he closed the door. Elvis hurried back to his old place in the pew. I followed him. Mountbatten appeared beside us. "That leaves two doors. Do you wish to continue the game?" he asked. Elvis grunted and said, "Not if they're going to poke at me. I don't." He started sliding out of the pew away from me and Mountbatten. I spoke for the two of us. "Perhaps you could tell us what we would have seen if we had chosen another door." Elvis stopped his slide. "This isn't my quest, but I'm here for Michael. I'll go along with his decision." Mountbatten spoke. "Fair enough. You seem like fairly intelligent young men, even though you're both wispy around your edges. I'll try to explain what I was trying to demonstrate. We all are at a total of what we have been and what we are going to be. I am King Richard, Dickie Mountbatten, and many others. I presented two different versions of myself in different body forms, but you only saw one at a time. One at a time is what your mind expects, and that is what you see. Our minds can only handle our lives in a perceived order, a lineal order. What we find difficult to understand is that we are experiencing all our lives at the same time." I put my hand to ask a question and give myself time to digest what the man said. "Yes, Michael, you have a question," he asked. "Sorry, I don't understand. You said that everything is happening at once. We call past lives, meaning that they were in the past. What you're saying, if I understand you, is that there is no past and no future." Elvis added, "Seemed to be difficult to be all your persons, your lives, at the same time. Are you talking about multiple personalities? It seems as though these people or spirits can be many different bodies at the same time. Sorry, I don't understand what you're trying to tell us." Mountbatten smiled. "I know it's difficult to grasp. Personally, I can only process one life at a time. It's the way we think. I was trying to stage a demonstration with the doors. I made a brief appearance on King III of England, but I was standing beside him as Mountbatten. Obviously, you didn't see Dickie, but saw Richard. What were your impressions of Richard of England?" I answered for myself. "I thought you'd brought along an actor or a king played himself. Good job, by the way. He looked at Elvis. "What were your impressions, Mr. Presley?" Elvis took a quick look at me to see if I had anything to say. "I thought you did a quick change and came out as the King of England. I didn't see anyone else." Mountbatten moved around so he was facing with us. "I am King Richard, and I am all my personalities. Even though I'm all, I can only present one at a time to be within your mind. We not only stick to the familiar, but we don't see other forms that we insist aren't there. Right now, we have an old sailor, a singer, and another singer. We are in an imaginary cathedral in an imaginary world, yet we feel alive and our surroundings are real to us. We can and do move across the universe faster than thought speed. We move other ethereal bodies from one imaginary location to another imaginary location without a thought about how we get from here to there. We are in the now at all. We are in the now all the time. So why can't we control time? The answer to that is that we can and do control time. It's all related. I laughed out loud. Sorry, I wasn't laughing at you, sir. We are sitting in a cathedral, and it seems very, very real to me. I patted the wooden pew. Right now to the hand wood, right down to the hand wood of the pew, that is under my bony rump. I get that part. But I still find it difficult to wrap my mind around being every one of myself in the same time. Could it be that I'm King Michael of Canada and don't know it? Elvis started laughing. Hey, Michael, I'm already a king and you knew it. He turned to Mountbatten.
Oh,
I'll take a few more years before I can believe
got me.
What,
it's funny.
What you told us. He paused. I mean, what you told us is in the now or whatever. Gentlemen, it was a pleasure talking to you. I'm sure I gave you something to think about. I should drop in to see my old buddy, Pemby. I'm sure you can find your way back to Sussex without help from any of me. Cheers, gentlemen. He disappeared. Elvis stood up. Unless you want to drop some imaginary money in the imaginary collection plate, I suggest we go back to Sussex. We zap back to Sussex in time to have tea with the Archbishop Pemby. The end.
Mm-hmm. Well, what a good story, and what a fascinating take on the concept of reincarnation and the concept of, we're actually living all our lives, past and present and future, at the same time, and it's more like a circle than it is a linear thing, but you can only see that if you've gone through past life regression. But this is a perfect illustration of it, and I thought Mountbatten had a fantastic sense of humor, didn't he, though?
Yeah,
poking Elvis in the
way
stomach.
Of getting a point across, yeah.
Yeah, that is all classic Bob Murray. And for our listeners that want more of this enlightened writing from the afterlife, you can get to subscribe to the e-zine through James at thestarsstillshine.com. And there's a front page on your website where you can get back issues of the e-magazine and read them. And then if you like them, you can subscribe on a monthly basis or however it works now, James. I know you're we're not going to chasing you for that on the show because I'm behind too.
They can find that on the website. Yeah, you can.
That was really brilliant writing from your father on the other side, and I know you're writing with him and you're training with him, and you're doing some wonderful work yourself. And a few of my pieces actually involve Father Murray in the new book on Mary Magdalene, the Holy Grail, and the Holy Bloodline, and where I visit your father on the other side and touch the objects that I meet Joseph of Arimathea in your father's study, and then by just touching the object, I tune in to the vibrations of the object, and I go through all the Grail relics and so on, and we had a show on that, so if our listeners want to tune into that, they can pick it up. So, It was a very funny little story, and you know most of your writing is full of wit and wisdom, and we so enjoy having you on the show every time, James.
Well, thank you for having me on.
And that was a very good classic. Now I'll see if I have time for one more quick message, kind of humorous from John Lennon.
1 minute.
Then we're going to close out the show after the message with. Traveling through Botswana, and let me see if I can find John's message, which I just got the other day. I think it, here it is, from John Lennon, and it's just titled From John Lennon. Coming in from the spirit of the upstairs studio, George, John, Bob Murray, if possible, calling on John Lennon and at any other members of the band. John, hello, long time, love, no channeling, babe. We're wondering when we'd be hearing from you. I know you've been busy on your other book, and I think your work is too hard and you worry too much about everything. I think you need to finish that book and get on with living, making some fun things happen in your life, going on a little vacation. You're an excellent medium, though. Marcia, John, thank you. I appreciate the compliment. What's going on with you on the other side and the Half-Beats and George with the band upstairs? Have you seen Bob Murray or any of the other famous people you hang out with? John, well, you know, all the talks lately of the royal wedding, and I hope, I know you're focused on that with Diana, of course, and we're so elated to see Harry so happy. I've been working with the other stars. As I said, I work with David Bowie for quite some time, and he's part of the Half-Beats now. I guess we really can't call ourselves the Half-Beats anymore. But we have Bowie, and he's really great to be part of the band. Okay, we're getting a signal that it's time to close out. So I'm going to wrap it up here. We love his sound. We're having some fun putting on some concerts for the kids and to cheer people up with the club. George says hello, and he's wishing all of you peace out there, and he's giving everyone the peace sign. And I'm saying, of course, to remember, I'm sending you all my loving to you today, and remember to live in love and peace on the planet. Signing off for now, the crazy one, John Lennon, coming to you across the universe. You can pick up my book at Amazon at Across the John, messages from John from across the universe. And we thank you, James, for being on the show. We encourage our listeners to visit your website and to visit DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com and to visit The Stars Still Shine. We're going to close out with a little music of Traveling Through Botswana, and we thank Doug and Don for continuing to host The Peaceful Planet. And we send out our vibration of peace and love and harmony to the world coming from the studios of BBS and The Peaceful Planet. We'll see you in 2 weeks with another show, and we'll take live readings then. Good night, and thank you for joining us, James.
Thank you for having me.
It was great. As always, you made enough. I had a good time.